Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Rogers, and this is Tell the Others. I wanted to create a place for meaningful conversation, life lessons, and parenting hacks. Sometimes I chat to interesting people, sometimes I answer questions about parenting or life stuff, and sometimes I just rant. These episodes are filled with stories and insights that made me say, ugh, I just have to tell the others. So let's dive in to hear what we can learn today.
If I was skinnier, smarter, prettier, richer, then I might be lovable. Yeah, so if I get those things, then I'll be lovable, then I'll have worth and value, and that will then make me feel okay. And then when I feel okay, I will have self-esteem and confidence. Hooray! I believe that the best way you can respect anyone is by filling their buckets. And so the two buckets are, one bucket is, am I enough? I don't know if I'm enough. Am I skinny enough, pretty enough, smart enough, rich enough, good enough at my job, a good enough wife, husband, brother, sister, you know, partner, employee, teacher, student, whatever. Am I good enough? I'm not sure if I'm good enough. And then the other bucket is, am I lovable? I don't know if the whole like good enough stuff makes me lovable. I think I'm not lovable. Yeah, I think I'm not lovable. That is what I think we don't realize is actually going on beneath the surface when we're talking about respect. If you are communicating to someone, I think you're enough. I think you're lovable. They then think I am okay. And they then feel respected by me because I'm seeing them, I'm hearing them, I'm acknowledging them, I'm communicating to them, hey, you're enough, hey, you're lovable. But how do we do that, right? Because most of us think the way that you do that is verbal cuddles, I call it, which is like, you're so great, and look at how you did your art project, and great job with the soccer game. That's all nice, and like, for sure, do it. Like, don't not do that. It's just not as effective, and I think there's better ways that you can do it to make kids feel enough and lovable. The three ways that you fill the buckets are not through verbal cuddles, although verbal cuddles are great. The better way to fill the buckets is through choice, autonomy, and connection. Okay, what the heck does that mean? And also, what is that related to respect? So if I give you choice and I give you autonomy and I prioritize connection and relationship with you, those three things communicate, I respect you. And if you think about it from a work setting, if you have a boss who said to you, hey, this project is coming up, this project is, you know, due, I need you to work on it, and I'm going to micromanage every 2 minutes of your day, I'm going to put in your diary what you should be doing, and I'm going to hound you, and I'm going to harass you, and I'm going to not give you very many choices, I'm not going to give you much autonomy, and I'm going to go on holidays for 6 months overseas while you're working on it, so I'm not going to be very connected to you, but I need you to do this project. You would be like, I don't feel like you trust me. I don't think you think I'm good enough at my job. And this is going to suck that you're just, I don't have any choice. I don't have any autonomy. You're just telling me what I have to do with this project. Like, that sucks. And that's, I think, what it often feels like for our kids when we don't give them choice and we don't promote autonomy and we don't prioritize connection. It sucks. And these three things are probably one of the most foundational pieces that are missing for a lot of families that I work with. The kids get no choice over anything, no autonomy, and connection is like bottom of the list. And what's another word for connection? Relationship. This, you and me, not a priority. Lots of other stuff is a priority, but not our relationship. And also, I'm playing the long game. Like, I'm in this for you guys for the long game. I want you to have kids that when they are 25 and they don't have to hang out with you, or when they're 18, they choose to. I want to teach you how to have a relationship with your kid that when they are 30, they want to come hang out with you and have you look after the kids. You know, I want you to have a long game relationship with your kids. And unfortunately, what a lot of parents don't realize, and this is one of the things that I love about being a therapist and working with adults, is I know where it ends up, dude. Like, so if you want to argue with me all day long, we can argue about this stuff. But I know where it ends up. I know where kids who were raised with parents who prioritize connection and prioritize the relationship, I know where they end up. And then kids whose parents did not prioritize the relationship and prioritized instead control, obedience, the kids had to respect their authority, that kind of dynamic, I know where that ends up. And it's not good. It's not a nice place where that ends up. The gist of it, of where it ends up, is a disconnected relationship and kids that don't want to hang out with their parents because you controlled me for 18 years. I'm out. I turned 18. Peace. I'm done. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you, you know? And so so even if you're hearing me say some of the stuff that I say today and you're like, what? And your brain goes a little bit resistance-y about it, just reflect on that and know, where is that coming from? Well, it's probably coming from your own childhood. And if we were raised with punishment and discipline, which is how most of us were raised, because we didn't know, our parents just didn't know better back in the 70s and 80s and beyond, you know, before that. It's like we have to change the cycle somewhere and evolve and grow and do it different. And so maybe that's starting with you. Maybe you're the first person in your family who's going to prioritize relationship. Maybe you're the first person in your family who's going to respect your child, even though they're 4, 5, 10, 15, whatever. When they're having big feelings, you're going to listen to them rather than telling them to shut up and go to their room or put them in timeout. Maybe you're going to do things totally differently. And that's cool. We call that being a cycle breaker. You're breaking cycles and you're doing it different. Makes you a really good ancestor. Means that you leave a really cool legacy for future generations by it stopping with you, you know? And when you prioritize choice, autonomy, and connection, that's what you're doing. You're being a cycle breaker. So as I talk, when I say stuff that your brain is like, that is bananas, just reflect, where's that voice coming from? It's coming from my childhood and I was punished and disciplined and spanked and whatever. And so when Heidi talks about talking to our kids about their feelings, my brain is like, what? That's not how it goes. You're supposed to hit them and tell them to, you know, get back in their room or whatever. Just notice, okay, I'm going to say some stuff that might be challenging, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. And that doesn't mean you can't just stay open to listening to what I have to say. And then I think the real thing what a lot of parents say to me is, it's only when I tried it, and even though I was listening to it going, this is nuts, when I started to implement it and I started to see that it worked, and it was, you know, like the first thing that worked after, you know, 10 years of trying to connect with my spicy kid or get them to stop doing these crazy behaviors, and this is the first time something worked, that's when I knew, okay, I'm going to do the Heidi way and I'm not going to do the old school way of how I was raised because I can tell it just, it doesn't work. So yeah. Okay. So let me show you the bucket slide. All right. So you see, I was saying that, am I enough? Am I lovable? That then makes me feel okay. And we want to be filling those buckets every hour of every day. How do you fill those buckets? Choice, autonomy, and connection. When they're little, that looks like, do you want the red cup or the blue cup? When they're teenagers, it's, all right, so we agreed that we're going to do phones off at 9 p.m. I see that it is 8:50. Do you want to finish up your phone at 9 or 9:15? I can go a little bit later tonight because it's not a school night. So 9 or 9:15. Now, you see, the funny part is like you're sitting here going, well, of course they're going to say 9:15. And if you say to the kid, you know, what do you want for dinner? They'll go pizza and ice cream. But no, you give them parameters around what works for you. You give them parameters like 9 or 9:15, not because you think they're going to choose 9. So you offer them stuff that you can actually deliver on. But by giving them the choice, you are communicating, you matter. Your opinion is valid in this house. I take into consideration what you think. It matters to me how you feel. That's respect, isn't it? How many of us had parents that did that? Not most of us. So choice, man, it is simple. But saying, do you want chicken or fish? Again, I'm not saying what y'all want for dinner because they're going to say, you know, candy and ice cream. No. So I don't offer choices that I can't deliver on. I offer choices that are legit that I can, I'm okay with. Do you guys want to come inside in 10 minutes or 15 minutes? We know they're going to say 15. Again, not the point. I'm giving you choices, which communicates, I trust you. You are lovable. You are smart. You are worthy of making a decision in this family. Autonomy, encouraging them to do stuff for themselves, also communicates, you can do it. You're enough. You're smart enough. You can work it out. You can do it. You can walk home from school, you know? And then connection, the relationship is huge. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But man, if you're connected to someone, you're like inadvertently communicating to them, I respect you, because you're connected to them. And we don't like to be connected to people who we don't think respect us. You know, if you think about people in your life that you think they don't respect me or I don't respect them, do you like to be like connected? Nah. And then if you're wondering, oh my gosh, I have a lot of power struggles with my kid, what's that about? It's the buckets. So basically, when you have a lot of power struggles, the issue is the kid is not feeling their buckets are filled enough. I don't feel like I'm enough. I don't feel like I'm lovable, which translates to not enough choice, not enough autonomy, and not enough connection. And basically then I don't get enough power and feeling like I'm enough and lovable. So I will take it and I will find it. And like sort of give it to myself that I am enough and I'm lovable and I'll do it, you know? And that's the basis of power struggles, basically. Does that make sense? So this slide, I want you to, you know, screenshot it, print it, put it in your bathroom, put it in your fridge, and just remember this is how. So when Heidi says respect each other, you know, respect ourselves, respect our kids, this is how you're communicating to them. I respect you, is by prioritizing choice, autonomy, and connection.
If you're a parent or a professional who works with children and you'd love some strategies that actually work with strong-willed and neurodivergent kids, Prism Perspective could be exactly what you need. Go to prismparents.com and discover a community where strong-willed children are understood and you finally get the support you've wanted. All right, friends, thank you as always for tuning in today. Our time is our most precious asset, so I truly appreciate you sharing your time with me. I'll see you right back here for the next episode of Tell the Others.